Kelly Somm is here. She is one of the news anchors for KRCR-TV, right in the thick of it in the Chico area. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having us.
I'm glad to have you. As you probably know, here in Santa Rosa, we know a little bit about what you're going through right now. And let me just say that our community is grieving for yours.
Thank you so much. That means so much. I remember watching from the North State and watching what Santa Rosa went through last year.
Yeah.
And having the same feelings, thinking how awful for those people who had minutes, if not seconds, to escape. And now our neighbors are feeling the exact same thing.
Absolutely. And let's Kelly, if we can, give an overview of the conditions up there in your area in Butte County and talk about the status of things there before we get to some other stuff.
Yeah, sure. Well, this morning, a bit of good news, because we're no longer under the red flag warning that we woke up to the previous two mornings.
Very good.
But the meteorologist I work with cautioned me in saying, even though the winds in the valley have died down, up in the foothills and the canyons where this fire is still actively burning, there are still some gusty winds of up to 25, 30 miles per hour. So that he needed to caution us, because while we're saying, oh, this is turning the corner,
yeah,
you know, there is good news. We seem to be headed in the right direction. The fire grew by about 8,000 acres overnight, so it's burned a total of 125,000 acres. It looks like they raised the number of homes destroyed by about 80, so now that stands at 6,522 homes destroyed.
Wow.
A number I never thought was conceivable, and then the containment stayed at 30%. So while it's encouraging that the containment didn't go down, still, they're just scratching the surface in doing the damage assessment. There's some places they haven't even reached yet. There's just so much widespread devastation. It's going to take them weeks, if not months, to document all of this damage.
Yeah, that's, just that point is why we're also concerned about the death toll in that area at 42 now. And hopefully it won't go up, but chances are pretty good that it will.
We have received messages from so many people. You know, there's more than 100 people still missing, and we received emails and calls hourly from people desperate, help me find my loved one. And we do as much as we can. We're posting all of those photos and stories of the missing people. But when I spoke to the Red Cross the other day and I said, what stands out about this fire that makes it unique? And he said simply that there are so many missing people. Usually by this point, we're in day six. You've accounted for the vast majority of the people, and we simply have so many people that are still missing.
Yeah.
And by now, if they haven't shown up at a shelter, you can't help but presume the worst. You know, we've had bits of good news here and there where people were reunited. There was I think it was on the national media the other night, they had a town hall meeting, and a gentleman got up to the microphone and said, please, if anyone knows where my mother is, she's well known at the community center. And someone shouted out across the arena, the auditorium at Chico State, hey, I saw her. I saw her, Barb, the other day. And it turns out she was alive. She was at an RV parking lot outside Walmart, where several hundred RVs have congregated, and she had made it. But unfortunately, those stories are few and far between at this point.
And Kelly, we understand too, because of what we went through last year, how important local media coverage is for the people affected by these fires. I'm not talking about the out-of-towners who breeze in, spend a day or two here, and then go. I'm talking about people counting on you and people like you in the local media to get their solid information from.
That's very true, because we know the nooks and crannies. And from the moment this fire broke out, the way we learned of it was there was a tweet from our local Cal Fire in Butte County that said there was a 10-acre fire in the Polga area. And immediately, my alarm bells went off, because that's the place that traditionally has the gustiest winds, and it quickly grew and grew and grew. And it's those instincts and that knowledge of the local geography that does help us convey to our audience that that sense of calm too, when, you know, reassuring them were the street names and telling them the fire has been stopped short of this, you know, this particular street that's right next to my home. There's a containment line there. You can sleep, you can go to sleep tonight without worrying about the fire burning down your house. I mean, I live fairly close to where the fire advanced closest to Chico. And there have been many, many sleepless nights where I've kept kind of one eye on the phone throughout the night. And I know a lot of my neighbors feel the same way. And it's kind of the same story. If you go out into Oroville, people there are concerned. Neighboring communities like Durham, you just don't know, especially after what happened in Reading, which is also in our market with the car fire.
Yeah.
That fire was thought to be almost fully contained when it was limited to kind of the Whiskeytown area west of Reading. And then that firenado sparked up. It hopped the Sacramento River and came raging into Reading 3 days into this fire. So that's kind of in the back of our mind. Could that happen here? You know, they're getting containment. We're at 30%. But could the winds come back? Could we have a firenado? So it has been an especially stressful time for everyone because that memory is so fresh in our minds.
And I know it's very challenging, too, for you, to who lives in Butte County, obviously right by the fire line there, as you were talking about, to get up and get on TV every morning and make sure that you're prepared. So personally, how are you doing?
It has been very challenging because we have our car packed. We still have our car packed with our valuables. And my husband will, in the middle of the night when I'm at work and he's still asleep, he will wake up and text me, are we okay?
Yeah.
And you try not to have those conversations in front of, we have two sons, and we try not to convey that sense of just concern, I guess, is the best way to describe it. It's not like we're alarmed constantly, but it is the sense of not knowing what's happening. So, and when I go to the grocery store, that's all anyone talks about.
Sure.
You know, everybody knows someone who lost a house, and it's overwhelming because you don't know how to help all these people. You drive down the street and you see people parked along the street in RVs, and some of them are at shelters. And we actually invited a colleague of my husband's, he works a couple of jobs, and he invited a gentleman who had believes he lost his home. He spent the night with us, and he was sharing his stories. And there are, you know, 6,000 stories of people who lost their homes. It really is confronts you wherever you go in Chico right now, because Chico just grew by about 25,000 people because everyone from Paradise has kind of moved in.
Sure. One of the questions that we have, and it's an uncomfortable question, but what do you do when your whole town is gone? I mean, we know we lost 5,300 homes in Santa Rosa last year, and but when you're talking about pretty much an entire town that is devastated by the fires, what next?
I've talked to several people in Paradise, and some of them are council members, and some of them are ordinary folks, and they all, to the last person, insist, we will be back, we will rebuild. And it's interesting, some of them have cited your city as an example, that the people who initially said in Santa Rosa, we won't be back, are all, or 75% is the figure they were tossing around. 75% are trying to rebuild. I don't know if that figure is accurate, but
it's probably a little high, but there are still a bunch of question marks even 13 months later. So it's a circumstance that is open-ended. And when you're talking about people telling their stories, there's no expiration date on that either. Well, Kelly, I'm happy you took some time out with us. You know, our community stands at the ready to assist your community in any way that you need us. And, you know, one, the only probably good thing about having been through something very similar is that there are lessons that have been learned over the course of the last 13 months. And we're ready to help whenever you need us.
I appreciate that so much. And I know both Reading and Paradise leaders are looking to you for guidance, and I know the city of Reading has been helped immensely by officials in Santa Rosa, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from our friends in Paradise as well about how you do this.
Well, that's what we ought to be doing for each other. That's just the law.
Thank you.
Here in California. Well, much good luck to you, Kelly, and I hope you won't mind if we check in with you periodically to see how it's going up there on the ground level.
It would be my pleasure.
All right, very good. That is anchor, morning news anchor for KRCR-TV, Kelly Somm, spending some time with us this morning. Yeah, don't we know it? We understand this being in this particular moment of that crisis, and so many unanswered questions, and we know where we are all this time later, still with so many unanswered questions. But I am happy that we know with the car fire that Santa Rosa officials have really made an impact in terms of the lessons learned here, and hopefully that same thing will be true in the Northern California area of Butte County, and who knows, down south perhaps too. So that's the best thing we can do, is take the lessons learned and try to share with the other folks going through this. It just seems like this group that we're in, of the number of people that this has happened to in the state of California, it keeps getting larger and larger and larger.